is, as Sappho said about love, bittersweet. It is bittersweet. That takes us to pleasure, that bittersweetness. Sweetness alone won't do it. Bitterness alone won't do it. Neither of those two take us to that pleasure of the pleasure of being where we are and who we are. I think it's easy to think that we should try to be perfect. And many people are led to regret what they have done in life. Regret is there in order that so you don't have to see really who you were and what was going on, which would mean a change in your present life if you face that.
I think right now the major crisis of our age, which is the dark night of the soul, is this lack of meaning or purpose in life. And that cannot be solved by anything external. It has to come about through an inner transformation. St. Augustine said, "Behold, you were within me and I outside myself, and there I searched for you."
I find that all of us get wounded, and we can just dwell in a sterile manner on our wounds and become less than we are. Or we can actually look at these wounds as the opportunities for further growth, both in our present and our past life. We find that often the shadowed self, even the negative aspects of ourselves, often carry tremendous psychological and mythic spiritual weight for transformation.
See, that's the interesting thing about the past. The more honest you get in relationship to it, and the closer you get to it, the more that affects the present.
Now, there's a cycle of life, which is a very interesting one, starting in the middle 30s and lasting to the early 40s, which I call spinning straw into gold. When I wrote A Woman's Book of Life, my editor said, "What, there's an entire life cycle that's about healing your psychological wounds?" Now, my belief here is that as we begin the biological changes that are going to lead toward menopause, one of them is this set of changes that says to us, in some way, you got to heal your life now.
So what I say to people is that instead of just dwelling on your hurt over and over, the same old stuff, really tell it as another story. Just like the great myths tell it as a story. It may be a story of betrayal. You may be the betrayer. I mean, it may be a story of illness, of divorce, of loss, loss of job, loss of status, loss of people. But remember that those stories, if I had not been broken open, if I had not suffered, I would not have been able to. And then you add what that might have been if I had not suffered.
The Buddha said, the first noble truth is suffering. We're all going to suffer. There's a lot of suffering in life. How do you do that gracefully? How do we bear the burden of our lives gracefully? How do we suffer our lives gracefully? How do we enjoy our lives gracefully? Those questions have always been at the heart of the quest for a spiritual discipline.
If I had not been leveled sort of too many times in my life, I would not have the availability to other people, the empathy and the sort of chronic humbling that I find in my own life that makes me available to everyone.
It only demonstrates that letting go of our suffering is the hardest work we will ever do, because letting go of our suffering means letting go of an enormous aspect of our identity. Because we are so sure we are our pain. You're more identified with the sexual abuse in your early life than you are in the remarkable accomplishments you've made since. And how much we will cling to our suffering, not volitionally, but we're magnetically attached.
Your spirit attaches itself to this, the memory of the experience, and it throbs continually, almost like a homeopathic headache that longs for you to retrieve it through some message, through some method, which is why we have acts of forgiveness are so essential to health. Not just forgiveness of others, but forgiveness of self. The body can't thrive without that. The bottom line is, the body needs to be in present time.
When people are beginning to recognize, you know, it's not that anger is a bad thing, that resentment is a bad thing, because resentment burns you up when you keep re-feeling the same thing again and again. I think at this point, it's almost common knowledge that the Buddha was right when he said, holding on to anger is like picking up a hot coal that you mean to throw at somebody else, and you're the one who gets burned.
Forgiveness is meant to be the most healing force that was ever introduced into the human experience, but the ordinary mind doesn't understand it. The only way I can explain that is that we lose so much energy in acts of resentment and in acts of fear.
So part of our healing in doing forgiveness work, and for some people it's on a daily basis. You wake up in the morning and you do a little forgiveness meditation and you say, using your own name, Andrea, I forgive you for any unkindnesses that you've done, whether consciously or unconsciously. I forgive you, Andrea. But as in any practice, as you do it on a daily basis or weekly basis, it will go deeper and deeper. And in time, as you feel it and your heart breaks, your body softens, because we have a lot of armoring around the heart, a lot of holding that we've accumulated through years of being told we're not enough. So this brings back our enoughness, and it's very powerful, and I'm still doing it, and it's 30 years later. Now, it lightens. It isn't that I'm not doing it toward my parents. I'm just doing general forgiving myself for, you know, unskillful words or actions during the day. But it's very powerful, and it's very painful, because you need to look at the places, as Stephen said earlier, we look at the places we're unloving to learn to be loving. We look at the places we're unforgiving to learn to be forgiving.
People are so afraid of forgiveness. They think that if they have to forgive, they're defeated. We're afraid that, you know, it's too much truth. Because as Andrea says, you have to acknowledge the reason for forgiveness in order to forgive.
To have the honesty and courage to really look at our past, with its happy moments, and especially its bitter times, its failures, its sadness, and even its tragedies. To have the courage to do that is very important, because then we're able to really be who we are right now. The past is present to us then. We are present right now, and that's the only way we can move into the future.
Let's talk about the spirit from the point of view of recognizing that your spirit is like the battery in your body. It is your body's power. Right? Your body does not thrive off of biological power. It thrives off the energy that's generated from the spirit. And that, in turn, makes the biology thrive. So that when you lose your spirit to something, when somebody's insulted you, when you can't call your spirit back from your childhood, when you introduce yourself with your wounds, which so many people do, what they really don't realize is that their spirit is not in their body. They have to go through the journey of calling it back.
Almost everyone I know is working with some level of letting go in order just to be more loving, to let go of the fear of strangers, the fear of women, the fear of men, the fear of being hurt. All of this is let go to find more heart, more availability, more consciousness.
The deeper a person has gone into their own process, the more interesting they are, and the more areas of connection are exposed.
Really, what Stephen's talking about is everything is work on ourselves. For us to let go of our holding, for us to be softer when we meet people, to meet them with soft eyes instead of judging mind, to be more present. So what we're talking about is how to be more present, how to keep our hearts open when life doesn't go the way we would like it to go.
I think often the face we see of aging is sometimes the face of bitterness, or it's the face of depression, or it's the face of giving up. And therefore, the inner radiance cannot shine through this, so that we're not seeing the essence of people. So if we heal ourselves as we go along, then as we age, the inner beauty really does shine through.
You know, there's a saying in the Course of Miracles, my grievances are hiding the light of the soul. It's the grievance that covers the miracle of life.
I thank you for taking taking the burden from me. And I thank you for keeping me in the light. As I let go and let go.
Healing the whole self is basically healing the environment, healing the physical body, healing the emotional body, and healing the wounds of the soul. As you go into deeper levels of your own awareness, the transformation is spontaneous and it's a gradual phenomenon. But as you look back over the years, it seems that even though it was gradual, it's very powerful and it's quite a big transformation over a period of years.
So now comes the journey in the heart. Love is harmony. Without love, there is no harmony, neither in your spirit nor in your body.
Spirituality and healing are exactly the same thing. They're about coming into that sense of harmony and connection and doing with your life whatever it is that increases the harmony, that increases the relatedness of things around you. That's what healing is, that emergence of right relationship.
The empowered heart. Now that's a life's journey. That's a big one. Focus on the people who you know love you, all right? And fill yourself up with that energy. And then send energy and love to them. I mean, feel yourself sending love to people, sending love and appreciation. And then as you fill yourself up, because you're about to go down and heal, all right? You want to fill yourself up with wonderful feelings of love. What if they're not there? What if the only thing you can feel is resentment and anguish and anger? And then you have to deal with that. And you have to realize, I have a very bitter heart.
What if there was a love so vast that you could never be apart from it? What if it was impossible for you to go anywhere where this love could not find you?
I have to love myself enough to not be a bitter person. I have to love myself enough to learn how to appreciate my life in exactly the package it came in, if this is the package it came in. That's self-love. I cannot hate the body I have. I cannot hate the face I have. I can't hate myself. True self-love is the ability to look at everything like that with a sense of appreciation and gratitude. This is the physical package my life is in right now. This is it. I accept it. I baptize it with gratitude. Thank you, God, for this life.
You are entering into the beauty not far from your heart. It's a place that embraces you as you are. Trust that you will be met by a welcoming presence that knows you. And that meets you with a deeper love than you have ever imagined in this world.
If we could feel the bitterness and feel the sweetness and feel all the other feelings in between, then we have gathered ourselves together and here we are now ready to go ahead into a life that is going to offer more bittersweetness, but it will be a real life for us right now. And we won't know where we're going to go, but we can go with the promise and hope, and that's based on the faith in ourselves at that point. So we just have to open our hearts and say, this is who I am, this is who I have been, let's see what happens next.
May you know, without any doubt, the precious gift that you are.
And there in that spiritual realm is the source of our entire existence, where you enter deeper and deeper and the spiritual reality gets more and more intense, and you finally get to the center where there is only love, and you feel yourself relumed, repatterned, energized. You are back at the core of your reality. You are the knower, the knowledge, and the known, and you know that you've come home. I believe that it's never too late, regardless of how old you are, to recreate your life.
There are several periods in our life when we suddenly look at our life and we say, is this what I had planned? It's not so much of a crisis, but a looking again at one's life with now enough retrospective vision back to the beginning and enough life remaining that you begin to say, ah, this may be my last time to really make a very big significant change that's going to carry through for my life.
If you worry about growing old, you're going to grow old very fast. There's a saying, people don't grow old when they stop growing, they become old. If you want to avoid being doomed to eternal senility, then you must constantly grow. You must be active, you must make full use of your body, full use of the range of your emotions. You should be intellectually challenged all the time. You should have the willingness to step into the unknown and embrace uncertainty. You should be willing to let go of the past.
We should become different people the second half of our lives. For the most part, you can say that for a long life to be a passionate life, the second part of life, you're going to be destroying a great deal of what you spent creating the first part of life. So, you know, by the time I reached 40, I was a professor with full tenure. I was dignified. I was trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And now look at me. Look at what I've become. You know, it's just a... My mind works differently. It's not that same old, rigorous, 1, 2, 3, 4 academic mind that I was taught. It's a much more playful mind. So I think that the clue to aging well is to keep following your passions.
Find out what it is and follow it. Find out those moments that you're truly alive. Could be bowling. I mean, it's making a difference wherever it is. Give yourself time each day to do what you really love. I love to cook, spend real time cooking. Because cooking for me is not simply stirring the soup. I'm also stirring the world. You know, I'm putting together the new ingredients of reality so that everything becomes a kind of fractal wave, a patterning for everything else. And you find that when you are really in a state of joy or bliss, everything is right at hand to bring you home. And everything is deeply interrelated.
It's about living tranquilly, with comfort, feeling secure in yourself, feeling okay about your life. And what Epicurus said, that you can find that as a piece of your life no matter what's going on. He said you can be sick, you can have a failure in business, you can have all kinds of things happening to you, but you can still find that kind of pleasure that will give you tranquility. Now, what are the deep pleasures he recommends? Are things like friendship. Now, friendship is an example of a deep pleasure. It doesn't go away. It satisfies at a deep level. A home life and family or marriage can all be deep pleasures. They may not be for some people, but you can work at it so that you get the deep tranquility that comes from those pleasures. And that takes care and attention to let those pleasures be part of your life. They're not uncomplicated.
I think we're living our passion. I mean, this is really, never really thought of it
She's
quite that
passion.
Way. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. He's my passion,
no,
really.
No, I said it first.
No. Yeah, but I mean, really, that's what it's, we're each other's passion, but growth.
You know, and if you're really alive, your passion will change from moment to moment.
I think that as we age, if we're conscious, there's something in us that says, time is short, energy is short, do it, go for it, it's now or never. It's like in the trapeze, there comes the moment when you're holding the trapeze and the catcher says, hep, and that means go, and it means go now, because you have such a narrow margin of time to catch the catcher. Well, I have a narrow margin of time to do the things that I want to do in my life. It's just, you know, it's just time to, as you get older, to stop hedging your bets, to take the leap of faith, to move toward what you think is most deeply satisfying to you.
When you keep coming back to your heart as home, then every other passion comes, a passion to help somebody there, great. And the passion is really not experienced so much as passion, so much as the energy to do something that needs to be done.
I believe that we want to heal the world, that we want to look around and we want to see a world in balance and in harmony. This world can only be transformed by transforming ourselves. The Lakota people have a word, they say mutakuyase, which means we are all relations, we are all part of the web. What happens to one part of the web happens to every other. However it is, we have to take the passion for peace in our life and do something in terms of committed social action to make the world a better place. And if we do that, that combination of changing the world through our thoughts, changing the world through what we put out through our hearts, that our atmosphere becomes a peaceful place for people to enter.
We have spiritual teachers from every generation, from, shall we say, the ultimate divinity that's managed to be on this earth, from Buddha and Jesus, to beautiful teachers in all traditions. These teachers have come down and said, you want to know how to live down here? This is how you live. Be generous. Give generous spirit to each other. Trust that there's a wonderful reason for your life. Trust that maybe it's just to be alive. Don't convert it into a job description. I mean, be generous with each other. Be loving. Don't judge another person. Be compassionate. You know, don't harm another. If we lived by these simple rules, if we only lived by these simple rules, do you realize how much of the suffering on this planet we would eliminate? To live consciously means to live like that.
If not now, when? If not you, who? These are the times. We are the people. What you do counts. Taking on the biggest opus of all, your own life, will make a huge difference, not just for yourself, but the lives of so many, because we're so incredibly interconnected in this new, greatly interwoven world.
Every 100 years, the dove's wing gently touches the face of the earth, the dawn of a new century. Time for
I would say that my true passion in life is loving people. When somebody says to me, what did you do in this lifetime? I want to be able to say, I was an instrument for love. That people could see their worth in my eyes. That I was present there for the people that I cared about. That's what my passion is.